You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his sniper's knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, good buddy. Just sitting here thinking to myself, wow, what a show you've put together one more time. Just another good old good one. You know, I got to tell you, Bill, Marco, it just blows me away every time you play that little tidbit of Bigfoot Lives. And I hear his voice, you know, Mike Sells there at the end.
Yes.
And God rest his soul, ladies and gentlemen. You'll see him in the movie, and those of you who bought Bigfoot Lives, you'll know who he is, the guy out there in Texas. We owe an awful lot to him. We learned an awful lot about this creature. I tend to believe that myself and my crew searching for Bigfoot's team put Paris, Texas, on the map, all because of this man. But you'll see him in the movie where he was actually knocked down by one of these creatures, and he's no longer with us today. God rest his soul, Mr. Mike Sells. But I cringe every time I hear his voice, and it just makes me recollect about how we were out there in those swamps and me getting bit up by the chiggers and all that kind of stuff. It was just incredible. Paris, Texas. If you haven't seen it, Bigfoot Lives, get out there and get it. Well, my gosh, things have been happening all over the country. One more time, another week's passed, Bill, and man, these creatures are still migrating all over the place.
Yes, they are, and the Bigfoot hotline is busy.
Unbelievable. You know, about 20 minutes before the show, I get another call from the southeast, and I'm reluctant to tell anybody where it is anymore because our competitors now, wouldn't you know it, they're out there contacting these people wanting to get out there.
Folks, you know something, Tom? I got to tell them. You know, about every week or every other week, we get calls from the producers from the show and other a couple of shows, and they want to use they want us to give them all of our materials so they have stuff that they can use on the shows. It's amazing.
It can't believe it really is. And you know, it just bothers me. It just goes to show you, even these people who supposedly are adventurous outdoor people and going out there to find out the truth, they don't even know what the hell they're doing. And that's the problem today. You know, the real people are the people that have got the boots on the ground, and they're out there investigating what's going on. But a half hour, I guess, before the show started, I get a call, and there was this guy in a cemetery, seen one of the creatures, took pictures from his telephone photos, and supposedly they're going to get them to us. But here it is one more time. I mean, there isn't a week that goes by, Bill, now. Gosh, how many calls you think we're getting? It's got to be 3 to 6 a day, don't you think?
It's pretty heavy.
It is pretty heavy.
And, of course, we do get hoax calls all the time from the young kids, high school kids trying to play a joke. Or a couple of buddies out there getting drunk on a weekend.
There you go. You know, I love getting them calls about 3 o'clock in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the hotline comes into, if our people aren't on the switchboard, they connect it either to me or Bill. And, you know, I'll get a call at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning after some bunch of kids, like Marco said, had one too many. And they're sitting there telling me the stories, and I can only really understand one out of every 6 word because they slur them so much. But, you know, you guys, if you got nothing better to do, why don't you just get a life, find a girlfriend. You will need to have that problem. What do you think, Bill, Marco?
Well, I just tell them to call somebody else. And
yeah, I hear you.
Or I tell them if they are having such fun, I'll give them a call.
Yeah, well, get their parents' phone number and wake them up at 3 o'clock
right.
in the morning, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
There you go. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, our first guest here tonight, Marco, what a treasure. This man is one hell of an adventurer, a philanthropist, a man that's looking for the other side of the mountain. And my gosh, he's a real doer. Here's a guy that knows what's happening when it comes to the outdoors and the mountains and the rugged way of getting around. Without any further ado, let's get up there to Northern California and talk to our newfound friend, Amir Farcio.
Hi,
Amir,
Tom,
you out there?
How are you?
How are you?
Very good. I'm great. How are you? Great show.
Hey, well, thank you so much, Amir. You know, I've got to tell you, and ladies and gentlemen, on our website, Bigfoot Live, BigfootLive.com, he's under the number 2 where we're talking to him. You want to talk about off-roading, you've got to click on to these pictures, ladies and gentlemen. The ones that just blow my mind is pictures number 2, 3, and 4, 8, and 11. But without any further ado, I'm going to get up to number 2 myself. But before I do this, how did you get into the interest of off-roading? And how long have you been doing it, Amir?
Well, I've been always an adventurous and enjoying outdoor, either hiking or camping or biking. And a few years back, about 6, 7 years ago back, I got a Jeep and I started doing, you know, off-roading in the Jeep, basically to a regular campsites and everything. Then I realized that this vehicle does a lot more than, you know, it offers a lot more than what I've been doing. So I joined a couple of groups like Jeep Jamboree or California Four-Wheel Drive Association, did a few group things. with them, and those are awesome experiences. You get out there with a bunch of people, you're wheeling, you're, you know, mingling, getting to know people, camping at night. So since then, it just became a hobby of mine, and I enjoy photography, so I always grab my camera, and I have my Jeep all equipped and packed with all my camping gears, barbecue, and the whole work, sleeping bags, and comes any weekend that I don't have anything planned or nothing, like, you know, nothing to do, I just get on the vehicle and just hit the outdoor, go any place, camp in the middle of the night and enjoy it. You know, some fishing here and there, but mostly off-roading.
You know, I've got to tell you, I've been looking at these pictures, and my God, it kind of reminded us when we were with our four-wheel drive vehicles, when we one incident in particular, Amir, we were in the Four Corners of New Mexico, and we had to cut a road ourselves going up a mountainside up to about 7,000 feet elevation. And the road wasn't very good, let me just put it to you that way. So we actually had to cut this road out ourselves to get to the top, okay? And the thing that's been blowing my mind is I see you in picture number two in your yellow. Is that a Rubicon?
Yellow one, yes.
It is a Rubicon. And it looks like you're on three wheels and the other one's up in the air. And then as I advance to the other one I was talking about, picture number three, my God, how you've done what you've done and how you traverse these ruts and these giant holes, it just blows me away. My God.
I got to tell you, it's a huge rush. I mean, if you want to ever get high, this is a way to do it, the safe way of doing it. I mean, once you're out there, you never know what's going to come up next and how high you're going to go, how much you're going to turn over, if you're going to turn over. I've done it for about 6-7 years now. I have not rolled one yet, and I'm hoping I don't. But as I mentioned, it's yet. You know, you do it long enough, it might happen. You just have to be careful. But you get such a rush out of it. It's so thrilling. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's very satisfying. So
here's the big question I got for you. I'm looking at this is number four photo, and I'm looking at those wheels in the back. They look like they're down under, and the other ones are up. Does it ruin the vehicle at all?
No, not at all. Actually, they're designed for it.
So they're designed to have this rugged
stock vehicle. I just lifted it a little bit, and it's a Rubicon package, you know, which has a front and rear locker with a sway bar, electronic sway bar disconnect. This vehicle is designed for it. It's unbelievable vehicle, and I mean, I've been doing it for a few years with the Jeep, and it's just unbelievable what this vehicle is capable of doing. And stock vehicle, I just raise them a little bit just to make sure I have enough clearance or doesn't damage the bumpers or things like that, but it's awesome. And the way the wheels bend and articulate, it's just unbelievable and doesn't hurt at all. I mean, it's made for it. So if you don't use it otherwise, just drive it around the street. As far as I'm concerned, you're hurting the vehicle. It's meant to be outdoors.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm witnessing these pictures that you sent to us, and I've got to tell you, it reminded me so much when we were on two or three wheels traversing these roads and mountains looking for the creature. And that's what's going to lead us into our next bit here. Ladies and gentlemen, he's associate of other dealerships with the very guy that has about, what they got, you guys got how many in Northern California now?
We have about six dealerships.
Six dealerships in Northern California, no telling how many across the country, but I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. He put a bug in my ear, and we're going to be announcing within the next 3 or 4 days, so you listen up real closely, and by our next show, he's going to be coming out. You've got to see these rigs he's got, ladies and gentlemen. And any of you guys that are in the Northern California area, we're going to be putting up his phone number, which is 408-248-1800, on our website. And you just ask for Amir, and what's going to happen is any of you guys that come in for a test drive for any of the Rubicon, the Jeep Sportsters, or any of the 4x4s that they have. Now, that's a good question. I'm getting emailed right now, and they said, please ask Amir If they bought a Durango, could they do the same thing as the Jeep does?
It's meant for an off-road vehicle. It's very capable of doing, but Jeep for tighter area, rock crawling, things like that, it's designed for it mainly because with Rubicon, it's a lot nicer vehicle, and, you know, the clearance is not that high, and you might get a damage, you know, or get it being banged up a little bit, and it's too nice of a vehicle to do that, you know. Jeeps are, you know, a little bit more rugged. They are trail rated, you know, they're Jeep has a rating on them, so you could take them on different trails, you know, and Wranglers, especially Rubicon, is the most off-road vehicle that you could ever get stock vehicle from manufacturer.
Okay, so the answer would be to this guy, his name is Bob Hall. He wants to know if he says he's looking about getting a new Durango 4x4. And what did, so the question is, would the new Durango 4x4 do just an equivalent as a Jeepster or a Rubicon out in the mountains?
I would guess not, mainly because it's much longer wheelbase. So when you're crawling or going over rocks or something like that, it's going to drag. So, I mean, you need a little bit shorter wheelbase. It's, okay. It would do majority of them. I mean, when you're saying off-road to me might be different to your caller or listener. You know, it depends what the off-road is. Majority of the time, if you're going camping, fishing, off-road vehicle on a dirt trails, things like that, most likely you would have no problem whatsoever.
Okay. So, in other words, Bob Hall, here's the answer. If you're going to go out four-wheeling in the mud, in the snow, off the regular roads,
no problem.
You got no problem at all. But if you think you're going to travel and climb Mount Everest, you might have a problem or two, unless they have a winch, right, Amir?
Definitely recommend it. Definitely recommend it when you're going off-road, have a wrench. Highly recommend it. Always try to go with two trucks, especially on a train that you're not familiar with. So in case, for whatever the reason, the vehicle break, you don't want to hike 10 or 11 miles to hit the, you know, pavement. So it's going to be uncomfortable.
That is – now, here's another question that just came in. This is from a Phyllis. Phyllis wants to know, she's out there in Fremont, California, and she says, Tom, ask the gentleman, if they get broke down out there, are they all still covered under warranty? That's a fair question. So in other words, here it is. If they have a vehicle, most cars are covered from 3 years or 36 months, bumper to bumper. Knowing that this vehicle can climb a mountain, the Rubicon now we're talking about, if it breaks down, are they covered?
If it breaks down, if you don't hit it against something that physically break a, you know, component, most likely, yes, the manufacturer will cover it. If there's a physical damage that, let's say you hit a rock so hard that you bend it or you break it, that most likely they will not cover. But under a stress, let's say if you're going over a rock or something like that, something inside break, they will cover it because, as I mentioned, the vehicle is made for it. You could hardly, there isn't hardly anything you can do with the Jeep Rubicon. It's a very impressive vehicle. And if you're buying one, especially a new one or something like that, Jeep is offering right now that you could buy a lifetime extended warranty. So as long as you're the original owner and you own that vehicle, they cover the components for you. So 150,000 miles down the road, you break something, you know, manufacturer will cover it, which is a, you know, very, very exclusive warranty. It's definitely worth the money if you're going to keep your vehicle that long.
You know, I got to tell you something. That's probably the best vehicle warranty that's ever been out there in the market. And I guess exclusively, it's you guys. It's Chrysler, right? It's the only one that have it.
Yes,
Dodge, Chrysler,
Dodge. Yes.
Yeah, it's wonderful, Phyllis. I hope that answered your question. We're going to have Amir back on next week, because we're going to go out for this drawing, and some lucky winner is going to come that goes to the dealership, will come on our California expedition, which we're going to be filming, and it'll be in our next movie. So some lucky winner who comes in for a test drive, and by the way, we're going to give the number. We'll place it on our website again. It's 408-248-1800. Just ask for Amir. He's a friendly guy. He'll answer any questions. He'll meet you there. He'll show you. And what you want to do, ladies and gentlemen, is right there in that picture, number 8 and number 11. My God, it looks like he's traveling upside the mountain. He's going straight up to Mount Everest itself. And you'll get to see him. And do you have your vehicle with you?
Yes.
So people can see it when they come?
That's my everyday driver.
Isn't that amazing?
That's my everyday driver. That's a very nice, generous offer from you, Tom. I really do appreciate it. Just a little bit of information. I'm at Stevens Creek, Chrysler Jeep Dodge, on Stevens Creek in San Jose. There is another Amir, which is in sales. I'm not in sales. I'm one of the operation managers. So if they do call in the number that you're going to post on your website, ask for the manager so I make sure these listeners get taken care of. And I'm looking forward to see them and also on the next expedition that you have.
Oh, wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understood that. Amir is the operations manager, so if you do call, you want to come down, see his rig and all the other ones that he has on the lot, call him direct. He's the operations manager, Amir, at 408-248-1800. He's got the one that he off-roads, ladies and gentlemen, right there. You can see it. He'll show you everything you got in the damn thing, and I'll tell you something. You're going to see something that you've never seen before, okay? And not only that, you may have a chance to come out on expedition with us when we leave next month or up in Northern California. As a matter of fact, it's going to be up in the Marble Mountains, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard me talk about it throughout the years. This is an area that's been really unexplored but very inhabited by the Bigfoot. Amir, thank you so much for joining us, taking the time. We'll have you on next week. God bless you. And just mute yourself out. We've got a whole lot more show ahead of us, okay?
Okay, Tom, thank you very much for having me on your show. I appreciate it. Thank
you. Bye-bye, Amir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Amir. What a great guy. These photos, you've got to see him. He is such an adventurer, such a nomad. He wants to see what's on the other side of the mountain. And boy, does he do it with that Rubicon. Unbelievable. You know, Marco, I got to tell you, when you saw these pictures, what'd you think?
It was amazing.
Isn't it incredible?
I wouldn't be in that.
I'll tell you what, he's my kind of guy, man. Anybody can go out and do what he does. Unbelievable. Off the chain, off the charts. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, before we go out any further, we've had these people, Carl and Dina, a while back on our show. I give both of these guys a lot of credit, especially Dina. I don't mean to say anything harsh, Carl, but, you know, she's put together a bunch of girls. She has a woman crew, okay? And we're going to be talking to her a little while, but we're going to get Carl on it's called the Big Roadie Organization out there in Rhode Island. Carl, you out there?
Yes, I am. I'm with you. I certainly enjoyed listening to Hamid there.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to look up his photographs. I haven't seen them yet.
I'll tell you what. The guy is amazing. These photos, they're all on BigfootLive.com. He sent in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 photos, and each one is better than the other. This is the kind of rig you guys need, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we could if that was in our budget. But I'm sure you know they're within the reach of most people if one really wants such a vehicle, and that would be so useful to our group and her group as you mentioned.
You know what, Carl? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be talking with Amir and having Jeep Chrysler Dodge. Maybe we'll get them to sponsor all of our groups across the country. And have these things made available to the head leader.
If Amir would be interested in promoting that, you know, our hat's off to Amir. Thank you so much. That would be well used.
Yeah, oh, you bet. You bet. Well, listen, it's been a while since we've talked to you.
What has it been, February? Has it been that long already?
It has. How time flies when you're having fun, Carl?
Yes, it does. Speaking of having fun, we were having a good time even. Well, of course, I was listening to Amir, and Dina and Chris are in the next room. They didn't know I was muted, so they were joking amongst themselves. And at one point, the humor took a little coarse turn. So I said, I came out to the living room in the parlor, and I said, you know, that came out in the air, and in about 5 minutes you're going to hear it. You know, that they could hear what you said, and they're like, oh, no, 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 no. And then I said, no, just kidding. So I got them there.
You got them good, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I can't repeat what they were saying, but it's, you know, girl talk.
So tell me what's happened since we've talked back in February.
Well, it's been an active time. As Tom was saying to Bill, this is the time when they're migrating all over the place, and our evidence has supported in the last 2 years that this is just the time of year, April, May, and June, where the Sasquatch is migrating down to southern New England and has a stake here in Rhode Island. And that was, as far as I'm concerned, as soon as he crosses the boundaries into the state of Rhode Island, he becomes Big Rhodey and remains so for however long he's here. As you know, Big Rhodey is a play on the popular nickname for Rhode Island, Little Rhodey. So we call our guy Big Rhodey. Dina has seen this creature. Others have come forward and reported very similar, in fact, identical descriptions. And I've heard him. I'll say him because I'm pretty sure this was a male to make that kind of a thud on the ground repeatedly. It was like it was stomping to drive us away. And since we've spoken last, Dina has organized Bigfoot Seekers, which is an all-female group, and so I'm not welcome there. I can consult with them, and I can, you know, do some writing for them. But there are advantages to an all-female team. We think since it's a chiefly male populace, maybe exclusively males of the species that come down here into southern New England during the warmer weather, they wouldn't be so intimidated by the females of our species. You know, they would sense and hear that they're women out there, and they wouldn't feel so territorial. They wouldn't feel threatened. So an all-female group could be less of a distraction to them and maybe bring them out. Or maybe they would provide a pleasant distraction. I don't know, but they may be something of an allure to the Bigfoot. So that's I lectured on the topic a month ago at St. Anne's Arts and Cultural Center here in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. So it's always an active time, and we're always writing for the website and all that. And my hat's off to Dina, too. I mean, just as you said, she's been doing a lot of work to organize these two teams, actually three, because her initial group that she organized for research is Beyond the Veil Paranormal Research. And then there was the Big Rhodey Research Project, both founded in 2009. And most recently, well, in the last month, there has been Bigfoot Seekers, and these ladies have gone out on horseback to scout out territory to search, and they'll be having campouts. They will probably even bring, the mothers will bring their children. So Bigfoot would probably be curious about such a gathering. He wouldn't be so threatened. Whereas when we guys go out there, you know, we've got the deep voices. We're doing tree knocking and trying to holler like them, and it's probably just going to keep them at a distance. And I do think that in September 2010, there was one of these creatures who was stomping on a woodland path in a watershed area in Cumberland, Rhode Island. It was trying to drive us out. And, yes. Okay. What's the matter out there? I hear a commotion out there. It's Chris and Dina. But we'll... Oh, yeah, so we have Chris Stepney with us, too, who is a member of all three groups formed by Dina Palazzini. So, you know, and perhaps she can talk as well. She's the quiet one, but she can speak. She doesn't mind.
Well, the quiet one happened to be having a little fun in the background, so why don't, without any further ado, let's get Dina first on with us. How's that?
Okay, let's see what we can do about it. Miss Dina Palazzini?
Yes.
And even though she's my lady, the woman in my life, it is my distinct honor to present Dina Palazzini for all she's achieved and how she's come out of what we call the Bigfoot closet, and it wasn't easy for her at first. But now she realizes that it's helping others to share her experience. Okay. Dina? Now, Dina's over at the other side of the room. I'm coordinating this, so we'll get her over here.
Okay.
Unless we want to put Chris on right away. Now, Chris can wait. She's going, no, not yet. Okay, here's my Dina girl. It's Tom and Marco Bill.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Hey, Dina. How's things going, kiddo?
Hey, things are going okay.
Well, tell me what's been happening since February, since we've talked.
I almost didn't hear what you just said.
It says, tell me what's been going on since February, since we've talked.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I have an all-girl team going on right now.
How many total?
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
All female. And we're called Bigfoot Seekers.
And now, have you girls been out yet?
Yeah, oh, we've been out on horseback. We've been going out in the woods. I've been doing some tracking of game to see where the coyotes are, where the deer are, and everything else. We go, near the watersheds and all that. But we found a lot of game. Found a really lot of game out there. And we go out on horseback and,
Do you stay overnight, Dina?
Oh, all the time.
So you're actually making camp and you take the saddles off?
Yep. I build my own fire pit. We get our own wood from the woods. And we go fishing and everything. We bring food out, corn on the cob, and everything else.
Do you get bit up while you're out there?
No. No, I got some good stuff.
Well, share it with me, because no matter when I'm out there, I get bit up all the time.
Well, we don't get bit up because I bought some good stuff. It was like $40 a bottle, and you can't smell it, but it's very poisonous. It's either that or mud.
So what's the stuff called that's $40 a bottle? Because I can use some of that stuff.
Chris, what is that called, that stuff that we got?
I don't know. It's like a little...
Oh, not the DEET. It was like 100% DEET, but it was unscented. There was another one, too, that you spray on your clothes, and it won't even get off your clothes after 6 washes.
And when you get a chance to find out, please email it to me or let Marco
know. I will, and know what? It's unscented, so nobody can smell it.
Well, that's great. I mean, I'm just an advocate for it. I'm looking for something that I haven't used before because, I use that 100% DEET right now. That stuff just cuts right into your skin. It'll burn a hole in your damn skin. But it does
will.
Work. But then when it wears off, forget about it. You're a dead player.
What's it called? Juice? Something juice? Oh,
All right. Well, when you find it out, just let us know. So let me ask you something. You're out there. You've got 6 or 7 gals with you. Who's ponying up and bringing the horses out there? You got your own trailers and everything?
Yeah, of course we do. We have our own trailers. And also, my friend is adjacent. She's from the forest. She has 150 acres of land. So we go through her land to get to the adjacent forest. And, we go out there and have a good time going on game trails and looking for any kind of evidence.
How many hours are you actually in the saddle?
How many hours are we in the saddle?
Per day.
Well, my poor girl, Chris Stepney, she never rode a horse before in her life, and I had her out there 10 hours.
Holy Jesus.
She was like, "You broke me."
Dina, you have a video on your website,
a
B-roll that you were doing. It's pretty interesting. Can you tell
them
about that?
The B-roll in Exeter?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know what we caught that day, but it really looked like Bigfoot to me. And I have seen one when I was 16, so.
Well, hold on just for a second here, Dina. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to our website, you just click on her website, BigfootSeekers.com, and you get a chance to see 3 of the girls. Now, who are these 3 girls that's on your website?
It's myself, Dina Palazzini, Chris Stepney, and Aries Clogged Kenny.
Okay. Food for thought, maybe you should have their names underneath, don't you think?
It is there.
Not the one I'm looking at, honey. It just says core members of the Bigfoot Seekers team. Photo.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to talk to my tech girl about that.
Yeah, yeah. This way you get to know who each person is, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you got to click on here and you'll see who we're talking to. And Dina is the one right in the middle. And who's the one to the left, the dark-haired one?
The dark-haired is Chris Stepney. And if you go into About Us, it tells you our names and who we are.
Oh, okay. All right, gotcha, yeah. There you are with that hat, and then Chris, and then Ayers Clegg.
Clegg, like right. The plague. Kenny.
Oh, so she founded this thing with you. She's a co-founder.
I founded it.
All three of you girls are.
I founded it. They're my co-founders.
Right. Yeah, you bet. Okay. Fantastic. Well, you know, I remember now last time you told us the story about your encounter and your other part, your significant other, had talked about that about 5 minutes ago. Would you be kind enough to reiterate that story, Dina, to the people who are listening for the first time tonight?
Reiterate what I saw when I was a kid?
Yeah, when you had your encounter, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to get everybody in my house to stop talking. And, okay, when I was a kid, my friends and I, we went down to this road that we used to go to all the time. And it was windy, it was wooded, and we were in a convertible. And it really took me a long time to talk about this because this creature came out of nowhere. We went and parked, and we were just sitting there talking and just having a good time. The convertible was down. It was a nice summer's day. And all of a sudden, I could smell something funny, and I didn't know what it was. I was like, ugh, that stinks. What the heck is that? And did anybody out there ever feel the overwhelming feeling that somebody is staring at you?
Many times.
I looked first. I went, oh, my God. And then the three guys I was with started screaming, and I started screaming, and I tried to get myself under the car seat, the seat of the car. You know, you can't do that. It's only like 2 inches. I was trying to crawl in. This thing was 8 feet tall. It was huge. It was a big male Sasquatch. You know what? If he wanted to hurt us, he could have done it in a heartbeat. But I never talked about it for at least 25 years. I never talked about it until I went to Ohio, my first conference ever. It scared the bejeebies out of me. But now I look for them. And I have a lot of women out there that want to come look for them with me. And it makes a lot of sense because women are less threatening than men are. And I think the Bigfoot was kind of attracted to me because I had my hair all done. It was the 80s, you know. Hairspray and cruising around. Hello?
I'm listening, honey. I'm listening.
You're on.
I'm listening to you. So you, since the time that you actually had that encounter, have you had any others?
Yes, actually, I'm following a small family of Sasquatch out in Exeter, Rhode Island. I've seen them and their babies just for a brief moment, and then they're gone. They're like ghosts. I don't even know how to explain it. They like us women in there. They like us going in the woods, but yet they don't want to be seen. They show themselves for like a few seconds, and then they're like a ghost. They're gone.
I like that description.
Amazing. Totally amazing. Let's.
And their little babies are so cute.
You know, I'll
they're
tell you
so
something.
Cute.
There's a lot of cute babies out there. But you know what? Something that's wild, something that's unknown, is just like picking up a baby snake, rattler.
Well, you don't know if it's poisonous or not.
Well, a rattler are.
Well, I know they are. Modify with that.
But that's okay. That's okay. Listen, let's talk to one of your other co-founders there, the new gal. Let's see. Let's get her a viewpoint of what's happening since she's been out on the next.
All right, I'm going to get Chris Stepney's viewpoint on this.
Yeah,
hold on.
Chris.
She's right here.
Okay, good. Good talking to you, Dina.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you, and welcome to our show. Welcome to our friendly family of Bigfoot out here and across around the globe. How long have you been associated with Dina and Carl and them?
I think it's been about, 3 years now?
Yeah.
About 3 years ago, I actually met Dina and Carl going out and doing Bigfoot research. I was a photographer.
Oh, wow. Did you get any good photos?
We got quite a few. I think we actually found a footprint that day. We didn't have any casting powder with us, of course, that.
But we do now.
Yeah. Come prepared now. Now we know better. But, that was...
So how since you started to where you are now in the 3-year tenure...
I'm sorry?
What do you feel? What do you think? Is there something out there?
I definitely think there is, and that's kind of what drives me to go and do the research, because I definitely think that there's something out there. And
but you saw the footprint.
I know, yeah. I've seen the footprint.
Have you heard the thing, do any tree knocking or rock clapping? Or?
Well, we've heard tree knocking. We've had rocks thrown at us. We've had, out camping one night, we've had a loud... crunch loud, like
that was in Bellingham.
Yeah, that was scared us. We have video of that actually on our website, and it was we didn't hear any sounds, no footprints or anything, and all of a sudden just a loud crash, like a loud stomp. I don't know. It was a crack, like a crunch like you stomped on a branch or something that was on the ground, and then that was it. Nothing else.
Wow.
And that was right near us.
Now, on your website, you have tree formations and uprooted trees and other things like that that you've taken photos of as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of those I know Dina had and Carl had taken on when they went out before I joined the team, some of them, some of the photos on there.
Well, it sounds like you guys have been having an interesting time.
Yes, definitely.
It really is, and I want to thank you very much for taking the time tonight, telling us about your organization, and what do you got coming down the line? What are you guys going to be doing?
I'll give you back to Dina on that one. Hold on.
What do we have coming down the line?
Oh, my goodness, we have a lot coming down the line. Very soon we're going to saddle up. We're going to pack up our saddlebags with tents, and we don't need firewood, but we're going to go out there with our bug spray, and unscented, that is. And us girls, we're going to sit out there, and we're going to be near a watershed area and where the game trails are, and that's what we're going to do. It's been raining here a lot in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and all that, but we're going to get out there and just... we're going to rough it and love it.
Good, good. Listen, I'm coming out to upstate New York probably in the next couple of months.
Okay, I love upstate.
Yeah, and I told Carl that I was going to come and see you guys last time, and I'll give you some heads up when I do come out. It's probably going to be on a basis of just a day or two, but maybe we can all reconnoiter and go out in the brush and see what we can find.
I know where to find them.
Okay.
But they know how to find me, too. So, I mean, I never went looking for Bigfoot when I was younger. It found me, and it took me a long time to talk about it. It really, really did. It scared me.
It's not just you, many, many people. It takes a long time. That's because they get tired of getting ridiculed and didn't want people to think that they were crazy and all the other crap that goes along with it. But you know what? You've had a lot of courage, and you've come out, And again,
I came out of the Bigfoot closet, and that's
right.
That's what counts to me.
You bet. And welcome to the world of Sasquatch, honey.
I love Sasquatch. I can't even wait to go hang out with their babies and the mamas. And I already saw the males. I want to see the women Sasquatch, the females and their babies now. That's my goal.
Well,
just
before I get back out there, if you haven't run across anything, you give us a call, and we'll have you back on the show. Okay, hon?
All right. Don't forget about the Big Roadie Research Project and BigfootSeekers.com.
You bet. We got it posted on our website. Say goodnight to Carl and Chrissy and everybody else. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dina and Carl and Chrissy and the whole crew over there at the Big Roadie Organization and BigfootSeekers.com. We're going to be going out to PA real soon on the other side of a commercial. You got it, Bill.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Well, it's back to you, Tom. And, Tom, Anna has dropped off. Her phone died. She can't get back on, so we'll have to have her on next week. But we do have Dave.
Okay. How does a phone die?
Battery. She's on a cell phone. She doesn't have a regular phone. She doesn't have a landline. And her cell phone battery died.
Gotcha. I understand. No problem. Oh, listen, our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Dave Ortiz. You know, you hear me talking about him. He's like one of my own family out there in Four Corners. Dave, you out there?
I'm out here, Tom. Great to be here on the show.
Well, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Doing really fine.
I'm glad to hear that you're doing fine. And, you know, we listened to one of your cohorts last week.
Yes, Brenda.
Yeah, sweet Brenda was on, and God love her. She's there with us anytime we need her. What's been going on down there?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what. We had a lull during April. You know, just activity had slowed down, and we expected it to somewhat be like that. That's not the case, Tom. The activity is actually increasing. We've been getting reports all over. You know, I've been talking to Brenda about this, that not only are there reports increasing, but these things appear to be getting bolder. They're coming closer to civilization than ever now. And yesterday, I did a little investigation. I have a friend whose father found some tracks. I'll tell you where this area is, and you'll know where it's at right away. When we did that investigation, I think in 2008. Over here in Farmington on the west side of town, on the reservation side, right there by the fire station. This is only a quarter mile just upstream. This is the same exact area.
Wow.
Well, the father found these footprints, and he says, see, he doesn't believe in Bigfoot, but he thinks somebody was wearing rubber shoes, walking around and doing long strides. He says, this guy had to have been running. And the son, you know, that knows me as well, too, says, I don't think so, Dad. I think there's something weird. And then they said, we should have called Dave. Well, I went investigating yesterday, and sure enough, I did find some evidence. That a lot of it was kind of, you know, we had recent rains, but I did find some vague impressions. They weren't quite footprints. I did find some toes, and I took some pictures. This is in a park. It's a walking park where they actually have a dog area, and it's a really, you know, it's a riverine area. It's beautiful. Well, come around 10, let's see, the friend that actually at this house that I was at, that where all this was happening nearby, they also have a son that's a good friend of mine, too. His name's Daryl. Well, last night about 10:15 after I did my investigation early in the day, Daryl called again. He said, Dave, there's things creeping around my father's house. I said, well, what are they? He says, well, it's dark out here. We don't have any lights on, but there's something dark and big walking around and rummaging through our recycle trash. I said, you're kidding me. And he says, and there's howling. He said, when it saw me, he walked out into the redwood deck outside of his home. And he says, the thing saw him about 75 yards away, and it took off around the house. And then about 10 minutes later, it started howling. He said, it was kind of like a coyote, something weird, he says. And there was kind of a telltale smell, not bad, musky, but it was the howls that were scaring him. This friend Daryl of mine also says around his home and the past few nights, he's noticed shadows pass by his home. So we investigated his house, and I did find an impression in some sand on his near his lawn. I said, Daryl, I can't tell you what it is because it's so vague, but it's something big and heavy because I put my footprint in it. I couldn't imitate it. So we are getting some activity not just in that same area, but it's getting closer to civilization. That's actually within the city limits of Farmington right there on the north side of the river. So we could officially have Bigfoots in the city of Farmington.
This is just totally amazing. It blows my mind to see how brazen these things are getting.
Yeah, they are. It appears that being rummaging through the recycled trash, they're probably looking for food. And I did tell Daryl, I said, maybe tonight or tomorrow night, I'd like to put an apple pie out there. Walmart's just like down the street. I'd like to put an apple pie and maybe I'll sit around and see what happens.
Let me ask you something. Do you think the natural food is drying up in the area?
You know, that is a high possibility. We have had drought here for the past year. Some of the, you know, the natural flora and even the fauna, which would be animals, are not really around like they used to be. You know, I don't see as many rabbits, mice, or anything. So yeah, that's a pretty good possibility that the food chain has dropped down, and they're getting bold, and they're actually coming into neighborhoods. And where that house is, there is a neighborhood very close by. I saw houses there with trash cans, and I could only imagine that Bigfoot is raiding the edge of this neighborhood where this park is. And, yeah, it's kind of scary. I would like to start interviewing a few of these people that live there and just see if they've heard something or seen something out of the ordinary.
Wow. How's Chief Dan doing?
I haven't seen Chief Dan for a while, but he's doing very well. I think he's actually over at the Little Colorado River right now doing an investigation with some people. I'm not sure who they were. I was asked to go, but I just didn't have time. I had some music commitments to do. Actually, one of them was today, so up in Durango, Colorado. But, yeah, he's doing fine from what I hear.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking, remember the Lukachuk guys?
Yes.
Remember when we were out there?
Yes, it was that same time when you did that investigation right in that general area I was looking at yesterday, and
that,
you went
that
after
just blew
them.
Me away.
Yeah.
I what was the mountain that we went up on top of there that we had to traverse and actually beat a road out of it?
That was actually Lukachuk Mountain. Chief Dan called it something else. Bat Mountain or something like that.
Do you remember that you spent the night and the next thing you know, snow was there?
Yep. I didn't spend the night that night. I left earlier with the news, with the cameraman from KRQE.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, but I saw the pictures, and it was really cold earlier that day.
Oh.
Yeah, there was like 5 inches of snow after. And
it was incredible.
Yeah,
I mean, it
was
just crept up on us. Now, you know, Brenda was trying to tell the story, and I know that you know it better than most because you're there and you live it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they call it Four Corners?
Well, it's because four states meet in one point. From Farmington, about 60 miles away, it's where the states of New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado all meet. It's at an actual monument. You can actually drive up to it, pay a fee, of course, and you can actually twist your body among four states at one time.
Can you imagine that, ladies and gentlemen? Think about that for a second. You can stay stationary. Is this on top of a mountain?
It's on a hill. Yeah,
on
it's
a hill. Okay. And twist your body from right to left to left to left to make a full circle, and you're going to be seeing four states.
Yeah, you could actually be in a like a push-up position and have each hand, let's see, two hands and two feet on each state as well.
Wow. So what's coming down the pike?
for you guys up in that area?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to be doing some more investigations, definitely, because of the increased activity. We need to put out our game cams, do some night vision. I still have, you know, all the equipment you've provided. And we're going to go out there. I mean, we're here in Squatch Central. We might as well.
Dave. I like that. Squatch Central, ladies and gentlemen. And he is. And, you know, anytime you guys ever get to go through Farmington or Four Corners, look up good old Dave Ortiz. And all you single gals, be very careful. This is the Dave Ortiz that was with a Playboy bunny there for a while. How is she, by the way?
Oh, I haven't heard from her for a while, Tom. We broke up, and she went her own ways. And
she was nice gal, though. I liked her.
Yeah, she was really nice.
But she was a real nice. And you guys made a wonderful couple. You really did.
Oh, thanks.
David, thanks so much for taking your time. I know you got your music that you're going to do. Anything develops with any of these sightings, please be kind enough to let us know, would you?
Oh, I sure will, Tom. Absolutely.
Love and regards to everybody there on the res and to all of our Bigfoot seekers out in your area, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, good buddy.
You bet.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Dave Ortiz. I think we'd be lost out in Four Corners without him. He's become such an essential part for searching for Bigfoot. Our deepest gratitude goes out to him. I got to tell you, Marco Bill, it's just an amazing night. Here it is. Boom, it's all over one more time until next week. Good night,
yep.
Miss Calabash, wherever you are, darling. Sleep tight. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster Mason mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Well,